Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Big names are headlining UFC 262, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Just pick the main event fighter you think will win, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds on that fighter. That's right. You bet $1 on select fighters. If they win, you win $100. That easy. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on a main card fighter to win. Place your bet. Watch the fists fly this weekend. Again, that's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, before we get started, and I often forget this, I got to name the winner of our Ask Greg segment, and that is Donnie from Erie. Don, I'll get in touch with you, and you'll get your barbecue prize, all right? So, T. Frank, you have now become a regular member of the Keystone Kickoff team. What does that feel like?
It feels good. It feels good to, like, be able to – thank you for giving me a platform to shout from. That's really what I need. It's just I need a place where my microphone – can be heard, where I'll shout my nonsense to the world. So thank you for that.
And I've heard back from our listeners. They love your nonsense, T. Frank.
Yes. All right.
And just as another reminder, we've updated our app. What you'll see on the button is for the bloggy. Don't worry. That is where T. Frank's videos are located. Hit the button and you can get to all his videos. Speaking of which, T. Frank, I want to talk to you about a great video you did recently. We've all heard about P.J. Mustafer and the weight that he put on, putting on 25 pounds during the off season. Unlike for us, that's actually a good thing for him, right?
Yeah. So everyone has a goal body, right? Like, whether you know it or not, the thing in your brain, when you think of what you look like, his is just different, where he's 325. And that's where I think naturally his frame as a football player was leading him, but some circumstances led him to be a little slimmer last year, trying to fill a different role. He's back to where he was earlier with that goal body of being 325 and thick from head to toe. So while you and me, everyone talks about losing weight, P.J. Mustafer this offseason intentionally put on 20 pounds, which for some people, they just can't wrap their head around. They're like, oh no, he gained weight this offseason. What's wrong? Is he like, no, that was intentional. That was a part of the plan.
Well, that's what I tell people about my pandemic 20, T. Frank. it was planned, and it's good weight. Okay.
Although keep you warm.
That's right. I consider buffalo wings as good weight, okay? Just so that we understand that. One of the things that I learned on the video, and I had not realized that PJ was actually two seasons ago heavier, lost weight for last season, and put the weight back on plus a little bit more. I think that has gotten lost in all of this. And the goal of this putting on weight is he's still a defensive tackle, but it's a little bit of a shift to the guy who's the run stopper, correct?
Yes, and to I guess drill down a little bit more on that point, it was PJ's idea to go up to 325. So Brent Pry, when he talked about after spring, he said you worry sometimes when guys want to put on that much weight, but he's moving well and he's strong at the position because he's moving from being kind of a versatile tackle. He's trying to, I think, fill more of the nose tackle role, which is, I think, in the NFL what he'll be. So if he has a chance to be a starter in the NFL, he's going to be that nose tackle type that is going to be strong up front. He's the run defender first. So he's trying to take those steps to help the Penn State defense first and foremost. But in the long-term view, I do think that's his best spot going forward because he doesn't have those three technique abilities, those explosive movement skills to be the guy that you know about a defensive tackle.
All right, let's go. You mentioned three technique. There's the one technique, which is kind of the nose tackle. And I learned something new in watching your video, something called the two-eye technique. Can you help us all out, the lay people? Three technique, one technique, two-eye technique. What does that mean?
So I'm a visual learner, so I'll do my best here to explain without the visuals. But when it's just go for it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, this is why you still have to go watch the video because it's really laid out really, really well by T. Frank there. But give us a hint here.
Okay, so really the numbering system is just a reference point to where on the offensive line you're supposed to line up. You've heard about three techniques before. They're the guys that line up in the gap versus guys at one technique that line up shading the nose tackle. So zero. The zero point, basically, on the line where everything starts is on the your nose-to-nose with the center, and then everything's numbered outside of that. So two would be the guard, but if you line up to the shade inside of the guard, it's another way of playing nose tackle for four down fronts. And the whole idea of this is that guy threatens the A-gap, which is the most important gap for the offense. So he is the immediate threat that you have to double-team so he doesn't get pressure in the direct face of the quarterback, or he doesn't destroy most run games that are targeted for the center of the offensive line, especially in college. So that is what allows the three technique to get one-on-one matchups at the other side, is because the center has a choice on every play which side of the ball he's going to go to, and that's determined by the quarterback in the center and all the pre-snap stuff and all the pointing, and you hear like 44 is the mic and all that crap. All of that's to determine where you're targeting for your offense. And usually the two-eye technique, it's just a different way of playing nose tackle where you can still have some versatility as a pass rusher while primarily being that nose tackle body type. So it's a key role that that guy be good so that the rest of your defensive line can eat, so that your ends and your three technique all get those one-on-one matchups that you're trying to create by the formation and the alignment.
So the odd numbers are the gaps between the offensive players. So if the center's a zero, either gap on either side of the center would be the one, and a three technique tackle is actually lining up, say, between the offensive guard and tackle.
In the gap, yes.
The one technique.
I means in, so two I means inside, two inside. So shading the two instead of coming up with, you know, sparsing the numbers out even further. So that's what that I literally means inside. So yes, that's exactly right.
So the guy who's doing the one technique or the two-eye, which is the role P.J. Mustafer will play, he's the bigger guy. He's the run stuffer, correct?
That's right. Yeah, so that's why he's gained the weight to really lock into that role and do that to its fullest. Now, again, being in that position, being on the shade of the guard, still gives you the opportunity to hit the edges of offensive linemen with stunts or just with quickness off the ball instead of lining up directly over a lineman. That's where you have your least amount of pass rushing ability. So being on the shade of the guard still gives him the ability to rush the passer, and that's why, you know, he wants to be a complete three down player, but primarily focused on being the run stuffer. And then when teams throw on first down, he can still push the pocket as a power pass rusher. So that's the theory behind why you don't line up directly on the nose tackle or directly on the guard, is it gives you that flexibility to be a threat in both the run and the pass game. But that's where his skills will come in to determine how much he can take advantage of those things.
Then the other tackle, which we'll say would be the three technique, he's lined up outside the guard. The advantage to this setup is he's going to get more one-on-one opportunities, as you explained in the video, correct?
Yeah, and that's kind of the idea behind all of the situations that you line up in. And that's where you get a lot of the different varieties of football. So who do you want to have the one-on-ones? Where do you want your matchups? So if you think of your classic 3-4 team, going back to the Steelers and something you might be familiar with, you had guys that lined up either on the shade or directly on the tackles, and then somebody lined directly up on the nose of the center. So those guys are playing two gaps. They are playing directly on the offensive line, and their goal was to disrupt as much as possible so that the outside linebackers would be able to win matchups or have advantageous situations. So in a four-down front, it's just different where you want those matchups to be, because football is all about winning matchups. So in this front and what they run primarily, that's what the three technique is, and that's why that player is so quick, because they need to win with that advantage of one-on-one to get it, both in the run and the pass.
And you mentioned on your video that you thought Akeem Beamon is well-situated. He would be a good three-technique tackle.
Yeah, so the question is, and again, we go into weight, where his goal body should be around 300 pounds because you still need to be able to play. You're not going to always get one-on-one matchups. The offense is going to dictate, based on their running scheme, who is double-teamed. So he still needs to be able to hold up against double teams. But in the situations that we're talking about, he will have less of them just by his alignment than PJ Mustafa. So being 270 pounds, he's going to have to win a very specific way. That's why I think Derek Tangelo comes in, where he has the versatility to play either position. So whoever wins that three technique battle, or however they split those reps, is going to determine that situation. But I think it's very clear what PJ Mustafa has done. He's locked down that nose tackle type position. So that's the other question, is who's going to be the three technique.
And talking about PJ Mustafa and the weight he's gained and becoming that guy who's the run stuffer in this day and age of the RPO, it's critically important for that guy to hold that foundation, hold that base there in the middle of the defense, correct?
Yeah, and this is really what made me think about this, is that there are so few players in the box playing the run. Everyone has to have a pass responsibility at all times. So if you can have dominant defensive linemen, especially if you have one on the interior that breaks down the offensive scheme, that gives you a massive advantage. And that's why I think it's important, even if it is a sort of specific niche or dying sort of position, as far as like guys that are run defense only, they're very important to try and redictate the terms to the offense, because the offense can dictate whatever they want in college football now.
Okay, that has been fantastic. T. Frank, I always appreciate how you break this down for us. I always feel at the end of the segment I've learned something from you, which is fantastic. I hope you guys listening also learned. Make sure you go to the app for the Bloggy Button. You could get all of T. Frank's videos there. I highly recommend you go listen to them. That is it for this edition of our show. Thank you all for tuning in, and join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight. Just pick the main event fighter you think will win, bet $1 on that fighter, and if they win, you win $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.